Tommy, I know you're a big golf fan. Have you been watching the Masters today?
I was watching yesterday, Greg's. Today I haven't had a chance to tune in, but I will be. I'm dialed into this one a little bit more than usual. And it feels like we just had the Masters, and I know last year was crazy with the schedule, but Rory, man, like, what did his dad do to him, the poor guy, to bean him with a shot on 7 yesterday? That's a great aim, but ouch. Very ouch.
Yeah, I hit him right in the leg. Dad wasn't even watching. He was just walking away. Just like getting shot. You ever been hit by a golf ball?
No, thankfully not. Thankfully not. Come close a couple of times. Have you?
No. But I saw a guy, a fairway over from us. We were walking. They were walking. You know how sometimes you're going one way and the other people going the other?
Yep.
The guy was walking. He got hit right in the chest.
Oh.
Dropped him.
Yeah. Yikes.
Like, and luckily he was okay. But man, yeah, that's the one. I've never been hit by one, thankfully.
Me too. It's funny. I mean, there's so many courses around the world that are like that, where it's like a plate of sausages. One goes one way, it comes back the other way. Totally, you know, if you shank one, it can go into the other fairway. That it is scary, but oh man. Hopefully, knock on wood, Greg's. Knock on wood, because I like to get out there and hopefully something like that does not happen.
The Edmonton Oilers, 9 in a row over Ottawa last night. And, really, it was Mike Smith who, I thought played, he was the best Oiler on the ice last night, kept them, in the game. And then, the line that probably was the most consistent for 3 straight games on that road trip, the, Archibald Shore Kara line, come through with a huge goal.
And a good hard-working goal again, like they did against Montreal on Monday. And I think that line's kind of starting to ascend and peak at the right time, and that's big boy hockey. I know in the last segment you were talking about the second line is small. No denying that whatsoever. And all of a sudden you've got this line that's contributing offensively with Kara and Shore. I don't think you're taking Shore out at this point with the way he's hustling, what he's giving you on the PK. There's a little bit of offense being chipped in, same with Kara. And it just it gives you a little peek into what hard work and determination can do after a bit of a scare when you get bumped off the roster. And Archibald's just been solid throughout in that role, wherever he is actually in the lineup. But that's good. I mean, we saw the McDavid-Draisaitl show the night before, which was fun to watch. But Mike Smith, outstanding, continues to quiet the naysayers. And there were a lot of them when he got re-signed. And understandably, we get it. But the depth scoring is nice to see. Now, like you were talking about, get that second line going. Find a way. Big boy hockey is coming, and it probably starts tomorrow, to be honest.
Yeah, people are saying that you know, it'll be the Oilers' third game in 4 nights. The Flames have had, what, 4 days off?
Yeah.
They were supposed to have some games against Vancouver. Of course, they got postponed. So, you know what? They've been having conditioning skates for a few days. Here's the thing. The Flames can play hard. They haven't scored a lot under Daryl Sutter. They don't give up a lot. We saw that in Edmonton, right? We've seen that in a lot of their games. Their games have been close. You know, it's kind of a grinded out, boring game.
Seems like the LA Kings of yesteryear, doesn't it? And,
yeah.
Boy, like, that's, to me, and I'll be perfectly honest, like, I thought the Flames would have a nice bounce-back season. You get Markstrom. Tanev is a good pickup. And they were a team that won the West a couple of years ago. A lot of those guys are still on this team. I know Giordano's older and all of that, but it went sideways right off the hop, basically. And you know, even if you want to add another head-scratcher to it, was the move to bring in Sutter and give him a 3-year deal. And I know they're probably going to shift the mindset and how they go about playing, and there's probably going to be some retooling in the offseason, but yeah, the Sutter bump lasted, what, all of 3 or 4 games, and it's almost like the same old from Calgary under Jeff Ward, and you could almost make an argument that at 2-8 in the last 10, losers of 4 in a row, maybe it's even worse.
Well, here's the thing. I think a coaching change, unless you truly believe it's stifling your talent, at the end, the coaching change isn't going to make that massive of a difference unless you improve the talent when you make the coaching change. And I just, Calgary has a lot of guys like Sean Monahan has more goals, even though he's only got, what, 7 this year. He still has more goals than Nathan McKinnon. Actually, no, sorry, McKinnon just passed me. It's 202. Most people would never think that, drafted at the same time. Like, he's been a good goal scorer. Consistently, like, 22 to anywhere up to 30 goals. And this year, he can't score. For him, he's well below his pace. And so when you look, when you get enough guys that are struggling offensively, you can change the coach, and I get that. But it's still a lot of times will come down to the players, their confidence, everything else. Can it work? And I think Calgary has been a team that I look at their talent level, and just in the North Division, you look at Winnipeg, you look at Toronto, and you look at Edmonton, they're not close to the elite talent that those three teams have. Then I look at their defense core, and I think it's okay, but it's not, like, it's definitely not better than Montreal's. I don't think it's clearly, like, better than Edmonton. Right now, this year, Darnell Nurse has been better than any Calgary defender.
Yeah.
Right? So so where do they have, Markstrom was supposed to, and, you know, he could easily bounce back next year. He's had an okay year. He had a pretty good run. Then he had, a few meh games. But Mike Smith had better numbers. He's played better this year. And so I wonder where they're going to go next year with Markstrom. You know, how much, like, is Ian Clark the goalie whisperer? Maybe he's more important than people think. You know, just working on the fine techniques for some guys and to see what happens. But I look at Calgary, they're just going to have to change something because if they come back with exact same stuff next year, it's not going to work. And here's the thing. You know that the Sharks will be circling to say, oh, we'll take Sean Monahan off your hands. And that's what Calgary has to be very leery of, is to sell Monahan when he's very, like, on the low end right now. Because I think he's better than what he's showing this year.
Yeah, I've liked him since he got drafted. Actually, that was the year Nurse got drafted. And I remember covering that draft and thinking, boy, if the Oilers can get Monahan, they're going to be sitting pretty big, strong forward, can score all kinds of different ways. Gritty goals, skill goals, great shot. He's kind of, to a certain extent, the model of consistency. You're right about this year. I mean, that whole team is it's not happening. And sure enough, the Oilers end up with Darnell Nurse. And I think nobody at this point would say, yeah, well, not the right choice because he's playing great. But yeah, you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from people around here about the Calgary Flames, though.
Yeah, you know, Brad Treliving might be in trouble in the offseason. We'll see how that
Five
goes.
Five coaches.
Yeah, well, it's definitely can't say it's a coach anymore. Yep. Hey, what do you make of the story in regards, because I know you're a big baseball guy too, multiple suspicious baseballs from Dodgers' Trevor Bauer were sent to Major League Baseball for inspection.
This kind of caught my attention so soon in the season, right? What are we, a week and a half into the season? Bauer has been outspoken about spin rates and this and that. And I had no idea that there's compliance officers that roam the dugouts and look for this stuff. Like, I thought maybe, like, golf, you have people watching on monitors and TVs, but they have people in the dugouts going through and making sure there's nothing funny going on. So it's the umps that have noticed there's been weird markings on the balls and substance on the balls. And they're the ones that pulled these specific balls out to send to MLB to get checked out. Then they go to spin rate. So here comes the science of it all. And they compare his spin rate with these balls. They'll match him up to when he pitched them to his traditional spin rates from other years. And then on top of that, a great book that was written by a former Blue Jay, former MLB player, Dirk Hayhurst, who did some stuff covering the Jays after his career was over. He wrote a book called The Bullpen Gospels, where in every level of pro that he played, Greg's, he said, in the bullpens, in the clubhouses, every single pitcher is doing something to get that edge. And it is, by law and definition, cheating, but every pitcher has a little thing that they try to do to give themselves an advantage. So to see this pop up right away out of the gates in the season, I was like, whoa. And on top of it, it's a premier pitcher that could make big bucks this year. We're talking 40 mil. And someone who's spoken out about it to be the target of this is like, whoa, okay, maybe MLB's trying to clamp down and fix up its image a little bit with the cheating. Even though this isn't banging on a garbage can or anything like that, but this could clearly send a message if they find that Bauer has been doing something with the balls.
Well, here's the thing, though. How are they even going to necessarily prove it was him, right? They could say, yeah, there's stuff on here, but it's going to be pretty difficult to say because, you know, they could, oh, no, that came from a bat, right? You know, on a foul ball or what have you. So who knows? But it'd definitely be something to monitor for sure. But that doesn't, hey, the old adage, you're not treating, you're not trying, Tommy Gazzola. We'll see. Kyle Turris put on waivers today. That gives them the flexibility to recall guys up and down over the next month. With Nugent Hopkins out tomorrow, they'll stay with Kyle Turris. What'd you think of Gaetan Haas in place of Nuge?
Okay. Not the same, obviously, and that's to be expected. He didn't play a ton either, just over 10 minutes. His faceoffs were not great. Over the last couple games against the Sens, nobody was really that great with faceoffs. It's a patchwork right now, but I think that it wasn't good enough, Greggs, to the point where you can say, yeah, they're going to keep McDavid and Draisaitl together on the same line. I'm assuming that those two get split up for the game tomorrow just to provide a little more balance and go at the Flames that way, as opposed to hoping you can patch it together with Haas and Turris down the middle. And Jujhar Khaira has been good, but he's not a second line center. Let's not.
Well, you got. Whoa! I was just going to say, whoa! You've got two scoring lines right now. The Khaira line's hot, man. He's scoring a goal a game. So just, I'm not. I wouldn't completely rule it out. If potentially you have Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl to start the game, maybe. We'll see.
Okay. Riding that line. Hey, they've been playing well. They earn those goals with hard work, and those are nice goals. I don't mind them at all. So, okay. If maybe this is the time to elevate them and say maybe this is the second line for now and they're contributing offensively, I can respect that. They've kind of earned that clout for sure.
Tommy, have yourself a good weekend. Who do you like now? As we are almost done two rounds, who do you like heading into the weekend?
The DJ is always like my default answer, but
just because you went to his wedding, his brother-in-law's wedding.
Hey, Austin Johnson's a really nice guy too. I had some fun. We swapped some stories and all of that too. Oh boy!
You guys were sharing golf stories, were you? Or did you tell about the time you took a three stitches and then came back to play in the jungle?
Yeah, you actually really liked that story. He said, "I got a lot of respect for you, Tommy." I'll just say DJ, but who knows? Who knows what happens here down the stretch? I'll just go with DJ. For now.
DJ's not even close. What are you talking about?
The comeback. How's our boy Spieth doing? I know he's looking.
Spieth
is
he's at 500 now. He's two shots off the lead.
He seems like a nice individual, and I always like when he has success. So for him to rebound and get back into form, then I'm cool with that.
Well, I'm sticking with Corey Connors. It's going to be hard, but hey, the kid's, he's right in there. He's tied for 10th right now, so we'll see what happens. Have yourself a great weekend. Be safe. Pre-game show tomorrow night, 6:30?
Yes, sir. 6:30, hour and a half. Should be good as we get set for a Battle of Alberta. Could be one of our only games for a little while here.
Well, I think you'll get time off. Earliest is Friday, I'm hearing, potentially against Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if that happens.
Greggs, have a great weekend, my friend.